Harris makes the play. This will be a double play at second base. Wow, what a catch by Harris. Close some ground.
Amazing catch in center field by Michael Harris, picking off not only the batter, but also the man at second who went thinking it was going to be a hit. This was in the bottom of the second inning when it looked like the Phillies were going to score and the Braves stopped them. So last night, 0-0, Braves have to win to stay alive in a short wild card series, best of five. So you got to win three, and they're down 2-1 in the series. So they keep it alive with a great play, top of the fourth, Austin Riley.
A win away from another trip to the championship series. As Riley turns out around left field, that is going to get up and it bounces out. Austin Riley.
Line drive home run just barely squeaked over the wall in left field, so he gets the Braves going for the first score of the game, up 1-0 top of the fourth. But the Phillies are a really good team. And they're really strong. People like Nick Castellanos is the kind of guy who gets up there and you're like, man, you know, too big to play baseball, honestly.
Answered right back.
Castellanos deep into left field. It is a fair ball. Home run.
So whereas Austin Riley's was a squeaker, this was an upper decker. This is a bomb. So 1-1 in the bottom of the fourth. Phillies get their first home run. Bottom of the fifth, Trey Turner.
Including Trey Turner's double. He's got one again. Trey Turner turns a slider around and puts the Phillies in front.
Solo shot to center. Didn't look like it was going to get out off the bat, but it just kept going because he's so strong. And Nick Castellanos up again in the bottom of the sixth, leading 2-1 over the Braves.
Castellanos, high fly ball, way back, goodbye.
All he does is hit balls out of Wrigley if you were playing in Chicago. That's all those are, is bombs from Nick Castellanos. So that's 3-1 for the Phillies. And all night it just felt like the Braves were staving off death. Like there'd be two men on and they'd get the third out. And there'd be two men on and they'd get the third out. It just felt like there was a flood of Phillies always on the bases. So they're down 3-1, top of the seventh. Atlanta finally has something going. They got bases loaded, and Craig Kimbrell, the longtime reliever, the arm hanger from the Padres, gets up there, and you know he's playing for the Philadelphia Phillies now, and so he's up there to Ron Acuña Jr., one of the superstars for the Braves.
2-2 the count. Another one comes. Acuña, fly ball, left center field. On the run is Rojas, and he makes the catch. Rojas was a little shaky, but he hauls it in. The inning is over.
Returns the favor for what Harris did.
The Braves strand the bases loaded.
Oh, and you felt all of the air go out of the Braves because they had that, like, that was their great chance, right? Bases loaded, Acuña at the plate, went to the wall and just, you know, managed to make the catch. And so 3-1, going to the eighth, going to the ninth, top of the ninth. First and third, they got another chance. Braves are ready to go. They get, you know, a double to the gap probably ties the ball game. Okay, you got Grissom is up and...
Two on, two out, 1-2 the count. And did he go? He did! It's over! The Philadelphia Phillies are headed back to the National League Championship Series!
I'm so sorry, Braves fans. Look, I'm a Cardinals fan, but I always admired the Braves. I always thought they were great teams, you know, throughout the years. And heartbreak is in the nature of being a Braves fan, and especially that one where, you know, that's a game where you had your opportunities. You know, it didn't ever really feel like you were going to win, but you know, you had your chances, and it always goes down bad to lose a series on a check swing that was maybe a strike. You know, man, my heart's with you. So 5:15 on News Radio 92.3, tough pill to swallow, I know for a fact. But, hey, you know, just like everybody else says, there's always next year. 4-3-7-16-20. Meanwhile, the Phillies advance. And this one's for you, John Pickens, sitting in today for Candy. We got Jake and John, the J&J team here. The Rangers looking good, man. Are you excited about the possibility of finally getting your team into the World Series again and maybe finally get you first? That'd be first ring for you, right? No rings for the Rangers fans.
No, none.
Would you be excited about that if that happened?
I would. I really would.
I feel bad for you because, you know, we beat you in 2011 with the David Freese series. You're aware?
Yeah, the scars are still there.
Yeah.
And don't, my girlfriend reminds me all the time. Because she's a diehard
Cardinals fan.
She's from St. Louis.
Oh, she's good people. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys are advancing on. You're going to play the Astros starting on Sunday, and you know, look, nobody roots for the Astros, and I would be rooting for the Rangers just on principle because I'm a little the one area of my life where I'm just a little teeny bit of a socialist is. I love it in sports when the long-suffering fans get their thing, you know?
Yes.
And,
yeah.
You know, though it pained me greatly to be a part of it, getting the Red Sox their win against us, you know,
right.
in 04, the amazing run. Seeing even the Cubs win a World Series that they hadn't won in so long. That kind of stuff makes you feel. The White Sox getting theirs finally, and you guys are still watching. So, you know, I'm hoping for you. I'm hoping for you. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about getting that next vehicle, you know, you're kind of wondering, is it time? And listen, when it's wondering time is the time. Because what happens after I'm not sure time is it starts to be like, I'm putting this off. You know, I really don't like this car much anymore. Will this car work today? Like, you know, when you're wondering is like the early phase of the end of the relationship. And when it gets past that, it's really you're just suffering and you need to not suffer. You should enjoy your car. So go to Frontier Motors, find a vehicle that you'll enjoy, whether it's a pickup or a sedan or a sports car or a Jeep or an SUV, whatever. They've got them all. They got 300 cars and trucks in stock. About, you know, the idea is 1, 2, 3 years old, like low miles, new, almost new condition cars that you can really pick up for a great price and then drive for a while and enjoy them and trust them and rely on them. And again, Frontier is just a fantastic place to go. I know from experience, and so many people here at the station, so many listeners have bought cars from them over the years. Just fantastic. For more than they've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
My dad has a cold but also has high blood pressure. That's why I got him Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure for max strength daytime relief. Unlike some ordinary cold medicines, it's specially formulated for people like my dad. DayQuil High Blood Pressure is sugar-free, alcohol-free, and decongestant-free.
Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure. The daytime, non-drowsy, coughing, aching, fever, sore throat, cold, and flu for people with high blood pressure.
Like my dad.
Medicine. Use as directed.
I had an important job, and it wasn't just a job. It was keeping my brothers and sisters safe. And coming back, it felt like kind of thrown away. If it hadn't been for Wounded Warrior Project, I honestly don't know if I would be here. It was like, I got my family back again. We all felt the connection, like that brother and sisterhood.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Donna by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's not too late. Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. That's right, loan-free. PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Fox News' Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My father spent 3 years restoring this car. It is his love. It is his passion.
It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
It ain't always easy moving day to day.
We have an Air Force base that, while it's not in Santa Rosa County, it has a huge impact on Okaloosa County, or on Santa Rosa, even though it's in Okaloosa. As a matter of fact, the general mentioned a statistic that I didn't even realize was this high, that 80% of the airmen, so the men and women on that base, 80% of them reside in South Santa Rosa County. That's Navarre, Midway, and the Gulf Breeze communities. When you start looking at the sheer number of airmen back and forth every day to that base, that's a significant amount of the traffic that we actually have on Highway 98.
Yeah, that is a big number. I mean, it's not that surprising. Santa Rosa has great schools, and Okaloosa also has schools. you know, so I actually don't know that much about Okaloosa County just because it's outside the listening area. But the fact that 80% of the airmen who work at Hurlburt, you know, live in Santa Rosa makes sense. Also, it's really close, right? So as a result of that, you know, the ungreat byproduct of that is that those folks commute to Hurlburt. And what's the road that goes to Hurlburt from Santa Rosa County? There's only one. There's only one road on the south end, Highway 98. And what are we always trying to solve? Highway 98 congestion, especially during, you know, morning and afternoon rush hour. So Colton Wright says, look, if 80% of those folks live in Santa Rosa County, might there not be another way to solve some of the traffic issues and just relieve a little bit of that pressure on Highway 98? You know, you can only build more lanes for so long, right?
So we got together with a number of stakeholders to try to brainstorm, you know, what some solutions would look like. And I don't think there's any one silver bullet. Like most problems, they're pretty complicated. And I know this has been talked about for many decades, but it appears that though the Air Force appears very, very intent on solving the problem and being partners on this one.
Hey, when it comes to the military, if there's will, there will be money and way, right? So if there's will in the Air Force, then that's a great first step. But what kind of solution would he be talking about?
The study that's being done right now for Community Access Road through Navarre that we've heard some residents speak out about, you know, that's not designed to be another Highway 98 through neighborhoods. It's just simply the idea behind it is to help deal with community and neighborhood traffic. Any traffic we can get off of 98 is good.
So the, you know, the road that would run parallel to 98 through the communities a couple of blocks north, the, you know, 35-mile-an-hour alternate, but it wouldn't be to get, you know, it wouldn't be for people to go around on highway or away from highway. It would be for people who kind of live in that vicinity to use that as an alternative so they don't ever have to get on to 98. That's one possibility. Another one is?
The second thing we discussed was the possibility of putting a west gate in somewhere and taking Highway 87 and having a military-only road that would run through their range to a west gate. So all of that 80% of those people that are on base could now travel separately from Highway 98. That would relieve a tremendous amount of traffic off of Highway 98.
So, wow, that's an interesting suggestion. It would be basically to create a second portal to get onto Hurlburt that would run through the Eglin Preserve that would go off of Highway 87. So you wouldn't ever, you could either take, you know, like Bay or, you know, some kind of a bypass and get from 98 over to there if you're coming from the west, go up 87 and then hook a right at a brand new road that would cut across all of the you know, wilderness area there and get over to Hurlburt. And now my first thought of this is, where? And like, there's no road. Like, this is a very expensive proposition. Well, I've been talking to Colton Wright. He's the voice you hear, the chairman of the Santa Rosa County Commission, District 5, Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point. And he says, no, there's actually a lot of pre-existing minor roads and dirt roads, but there's already roads on the property. You might need to beef them up. Maybe you don't have to, but you know, you just figure out some configuration of those roads and then you got to connect it to 87, which would take FDOT permission. But you know, if the Air Force is saying it, FDOT will do it. And the idea all of a sudden that you could have access to Hurlburt out a back west gate off of Highway 87 and avoid putting those cars on in 98 in the first place, I mean, that's a pretty interesting idea. Of course, then you got to talk about the cost, right?
So if you have a project that would cost the county, let's say $400,000, the Air Force, the Navy, that's oftentimes a project that costs them $1.2 million. Just based on the policies and procedures that the federal government has on procurement and how they construct projects. So what that would allow to do is the Air Force could therefore pay for a product, right, for the project, for a road, but the county and the state could partner actually leading the project and getting it done. Far less expensive. It's a savings to the taxpayer, right? And then this, whatever government agency chooses to lead that project, there's also an admin fee there to help cover the cost of the time and energy put in that.
So what he's saying is they're willing to pay. They see the value to their people of not frustrating them and keeping them stuck in traffic. That's a quality of life benefit for the airmen. They see that this is a problem and a challenge, you know, and always having another gate is always, you know, a nice thing. Or even if it's not a full-blown, you know, gate of that sort, even if it's just some kind of a digital pass system where, you know, only airmen are allowed to get on and you don't even have to stop at a gate. You just kind of drive through like a sun pass. We'll see what the actual plan looks like. But they're willing to pay. And the reason they're excited to pay is because it would cost the county, you know, maybe a third the cost to do it because they don't have to go through the same kind of procurement and, you know, checking that a federal contract has to go through. So the county could build it and the Air Force could reimburse the county. County gets the benefit of happy residents that are in the Air Force, happy residents that are not in the Air Force, less congestion on Highway 98. The Air Force gets the benefit of happy airmen who are not having to drive in the traffic. Quality of life goes up. You know, Hurlburt becomes a more desirable. I mean, you know, it. This is a win across the board if it comes out. So, you know, we'll see. And all I'm saying is if Colton says that the Air Force is interested and willing to pay and they're this far down the line in terms of coming up with that as an alternative, I would look at that as a likelihood. And when? Well, you know, when the Air Force wants to build a thing, the Air Force can build a thing. Or, well, you know, when they contract for a thing, we can build a thing. So it doesn't seem like it would really take that much. So I don't know what the time frame involved here is. You know, my guess based on this kind of stuff would be, you know, maybe kind of a 2-year window, something like that. But maybe it's less. You know, maybe it's a year. I don't know. Well, that, you know, could be longer. I don't know. 437-1620. But there's hope ahead. And the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Law enforcement officials across the nation are on alert after a former Hamas chief called for a global day of jihad today. There have already been some pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian marchers clashing in cities across the country. The IRS says Americans have failed to pay some $688 billion in taxes due on their 2021 tax returns. That is a record for unpaid taxes. The IRS says ain't gonna let that happen again.
688 what?
Billion.
What?
Billion.
There you go.
Dollars. The IRS says they're gonna be stepping up audits and other enforcement for the next tax year. And big
can,
news.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Good. This is one of those things that I do not understand why my fellow conservatives get this so wrong. My fellow conservatives somehow believe that law enforcement is good, cops are good, and, you know, getting people to follow the law is good. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to the IRS, they're horrible, terrible, evil people, and we shouldn't fund them and shouldn't allow them to do enforcement. No, the people who don't pay their taxes are the problem. The people who underpay their taxes are the problem. IRS is a law enforcement agency. Enforce the law. Make them pay. That way we get the money flowing in and they don't have to come to me and ask for more. I mean, I just, you know, enforcement in the IRS is a problem because they're so understaffed. And I've often said, like, you know, I don't even mind paying the IRS agents a cut. You know, if the fund them through their own, you know, now I know that creates a perverse incentive for them to abuse their power. But look, the kind of money that doesn't get paid because of tax scoff laws is enormous. And I believe in enforcement. Again, it's law enforcement. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Just, you know, you don't hear the word scoff laws enough.
I know.
Big news yesterday. Steve Scalise is now withdrawing from the race to be the next House Speaker. He announced at a conference meeting yesterday he was pulling out of the race because he didn't believe he has the 217 votes he would need.
It was weird because Jordan announced his support for Scalise, and then Scalise is like, no, I'm out. Like, I can't get it done. So the House Speaker hokey pokey continues, and, you know, we'll see. I guess Jordan, but the problem with Jordan is that more of the Republicans don't want him because, though he's right, like my guy, that's what makes him not their guy, because he's more of a, I don't know if radical is not the right word, but, you know, he's more to the right. Democrats would certainly have rather had Scalise over Jordan.
Do you think there's anybody that can get that 217 votes?
I thought it was going to be Scalise. Like, I was dead certain it was going to be Scalise. So now I, you know, I'm a little bit certain that it's going to be Jordan. I guess time will tell, I suppose. David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, we had a really interesting conversation yesterday with Rodriguez Kimbrough from ECAT about ECAT's ridership, the cost per rider, how much money they're spending, and what could be done to maybe make that system work better in the future.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Israel's military tells civilians to evacuate Gaza City with the potential for a ground offensive on the horizon. Fox's Trey Yanks along the Gaza-Israel border.
After about a 10-hour lull in rocket fire, Hamas and Islamic Jihad have started to fire on southern Israel again. Just a few minutes ago, there were sirens sounding in the southern city of Ashkelon and people headed to bomb shelters. All of this coming as Israel is bracing to find more scenes of devastation along the border with Gaza.
Republicans squabbling over new leader, and the man who grabbed the majority of votes behind closed doors walks away.
I've withdrawn my name.
Majority Leader Steve Scalise didn't have the votes. Now it's back to the drawing board for House Republicans, who are set to meet at 10 a.m. Eastern. A cop in Philadelphia shot and killed in an airport parking garage. Another officer wounded as they arrived for work. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 64 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. A Santa Rosa County pastor and his wife have now made it back home after their tour of Israel was cut short.
It was a good visit. I hate that it happened while we were there. I hate it for the people of Israel there. They are truly in shock right now.
David Lewis, the pastors at Woodbine Baptist Church in Pace, and he and his wife Susie made it back home last night after about 40 hours of traveling. Lewis says they've got quite the story to tell. Their trip was paid for by the church for Pastor Appreciation Month. Well, the investigation continuing weeks now after that fatal shooting at Pensacola Village Apartments, and PPD's Mike Wood tells News Radio that in the days since that incident, there were more shots fired, calls at the complex, also around town. PPD still investigating all of those calls.
And we have had some additional shootings both in the area of Pensacola Village and other parts of the city. Fortunately, nobody's been hurt, so that's a good thing. And we always encourage people that if they have any information to give us a call, or Crime Stoppers a call, and we could sure use that information.
And that fatal shooting happened just about 2 weeks ago when one person was killed at that complex. A 16-year-old was arrested on felony charges related to the incident, but nobody has yet been charged with the shooting. And if you have information, contact PPD or call Crime Stoppers. Plans for a massive subdivision over by NAS Whiting Field have now reportedly been submitted to Santa Rosa County. That's according to South Santa Rosa News. The plans call for a 607 apartment units to go on about 322 acres of land. This would be over on Baxley Road. Currently, the property is zoned for agricultural rural residential, but a change request is pending for a change to residential zoning. Santa Rosa County Commissioner Ray Eddington now fighting back against allegations that he says residents have been making that he's orchestrating backdoor deals.
I'm trying to get stuff in my district, District 4, without tax dollars paying for it. I'm asking these people that own business to come to me, sit down, and I'm trying to get them to donate money to build stuff in my district. That's not a backdoor deal.
And during yesterday's commission meeting, Eddington did say he's received several threatening phone calls. He didn't specify whether those calls were of a political nature or something different than that. But Eddington says it's okay to disagree with board members. He does say there should be mutual respect between residents and commissioners and among fellow board members as well. And the Pensacola Ice Flyers now launching a new foundation to help support the community. The team and owner Greg Harris announced the launch of the Ice Flyers Foundation. According to the news release, the team says the foundation is aimed at supporting child advocacy, cancer research, military support, health and wellness, and community enrichment. It's 534 News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a cloudy day today with a chance of a few light sprinkles. Outside of that light rain chance, we are going to have temperatures near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. As you go into Saturday, a little bit of a warm-up before a cold front moves through. High near 85 on Saturday, mostly sunny skies. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 57. For Sunday, highs topping out in the 70s with lows in the 50s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 64 in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, 64 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then Dave Ramsey takes over.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, get fared up. The Pensacola Interstate Fair is coming for 11 big days. Opening Dollar Day, $1 admission, and $1 rides. Free shows by Tracy Lawrence, Shane Proffitt, Alexandra Kay, Frank Foster, Below Alabama, Rocky and the Rollers, White Tie Rock Ensemble performing Journey, and Mark Chestnut. Great rides, exhibits, food and games, plus Circa Maceo and Friday Midnight Madness. For half-price admission tickets and $5 off-ride wristbands, go to PensacolaFair.com. The Fair, where memories are made.
Hey, if you're thinking about some home improvement project you got to do around the house, you know, maybe it's a honeydew, maybe it's a you-do. I mean, there's you-dos also, right? Maybe not as many. But, you know, if you got something like that you need to do and you're not quite sure how to do it, or, and I say this with all love, if you are sure how to do it, because there's only two times to ever ask for advice. That's when you're sure and when you're not sure, right? That's always. Go to Pensacola Hardware and ask. Honestly, they know. They have the answers, and they will have the good advice. You know, a lot of times you go to a store and you're like, hoping maybe possibly you can find somebody who knows more than you combined with YouTube. And most of the time you don't, right? Most of the time these days you can't. But if you go to Pensacola Hardware, they'll know more. And just trust me, they will know. They've been doing this since 1851, before the Civil War, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. Why? Because they understand the industry. They understand the needs. They understand the changing technology, changing codes for installation of whatever it is, if that's relevant to what you're doing. They can help you with all of that. And when you go and you ask, you will get the great advice that you really need. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy the food, music, and fun at the Pensacola Beach Chamber's Taste of the Beach, Saturday from 10 to 4 at Casino Beach. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more. Experience an authentic Italian festival with food, Italian music, and family fun at the Sons and Daughters of Italy's Festa Italiana, Friday and Saturday in Seville Square. See VisitPensacola.com for more details. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday we had a really good conversation with Rodriguez Kimbrough. He is the director of mass transit for Escambia County. That means he runs ECAT, the Escambia County Area Transit Authority. And I had finally gotten around to, actually Channel 3 pushed me on this because they did a report on the changing plan for ECAT on Tuesday, I think it was, and then I found out that Wes wasn't going to be available yesterday, Wes Moreno, who's the county administrator, and I thought, oh, well, let's have Rodriguez on. And then to prepare for that interview, I needed to read the ridership study, which is only 200 pages. And I did. and a lot I learned from that. And we talked about that with Rodriguez yesterday. But the short takeaway is a lot of very, very expensive routes that we pay an awful lot of money per person to run. And is that the best way? And fairly low ridership on a lot of these routes. And is that the best way to run this system? Well, anyway, we had this good conversation with him yesterday. Rodriguez Kimbrough, director of ECAT, Mass Transit Director for Escambia County. Sir, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News for the first time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. By the way, thank you for joining us from Orlando this morning. You're at the American Public Transit Association Expo, APTA. I'm learning all these acronyms for the first time. And you are a board member for, I'm going to say FLAPTA or FLOPTA, but you guys say FPT. ETA, that's the Florida Public Transit Association. So thank you for taking some time out to join us this morning. I appreciate it.
No, I definitely thank you for having me and to all the citizens in Escambia County. Again, as we look to drive towards excellence, hey, we definitely appreciate the opportunity to hear different ideas on how we can actually one day be an award-winning transit agency across the state of Florida.
Very good. I'm going to just give you a little bit of background of what I've been saying on the air so you know kind of my perspective. I did read the transportation, the ridership study. And by the way, last year I had a conversation with Wes Moreno where I know you guys were doing the free rides for kids. And I had made the suggestion to him at that time, you know what we ought to do is give free rides to everybody since so little of the operating revenue for ECAT comes from actual ridership. Let's do free rides for everybody and just take away price as a disincentive and let people ride the bus as they will and then do a ridership study to find out what would the real ridership be if we didn't have any barriers. Well, we didn't quite do that, but still, we've got this ridership study in front of us. And when I look at the number of riders on different routes and I see the rides per day, that for some of them are fairly, you know, make sense to me, and others of them are more like there's 3 to 5 riders at a time on this route. And we subsidize it to the tune of $30, $40, $68 for the Century Route dollars per rider. I start to ask the question, well, golly, if I were running this system, I would sell all the big buses except for maybe one or two, and I would buy a ton of, you know, hotel shuttles, like maybe 20 or 30, and then I'd buy a bunch of, you know, minivans, and I'd run the system that way. But that's me not knowing anything. That's me just the layman looking at the numbers. Now, Rodriguez, I know we're not doing that, but tell me, where am I missing this? What do I not understand about this system?
Okay, well, so first, let's start off. A fare free system. Those studies have been going on across the nation. There are systems across America that actually has fare free systems. I actually sat down with one of the what I call a premier transit professional who's been in the industry for over 40 years. And again, that's always my goal, is to learn more about transit, not only because I want to see us have a thriving system, but again, I want us to be great. I don't want us just to be a system that's operating. Good. I want to be a great operating system, award-winning operating system. And so just sitting down, talking about fareless systems. So fareless systems in a small area like ours, that doesn't actually work. Now, I can tell you, though, your ideal of getting rid of big buses and having smaller vehicles, that's actually, number one, that's always been my plan, right? Coming on board, that's something I push in the transit industry. That's actually called micro-mobility or micro-transit. And what that actually does is that takes those larger 30, 35-foot vehicles that we have in our fleet. We're actually able to take those vehicles out of the neighborhoods. And number one, I just have to say that's for safety reasons. That's why you shouldn't have those vehicles going through those smaller neighborhoods. But then what you do is you have smaller vehicles it's easier to manage those vehicles, but you still need larger vehicles on your major corridors.
Sure.
Those major corridors, big buses going at a faster pace, because again, what makes someone not want to ride our service? Okay, not wanting to ride the service because every hour and half hour you have vehicles. So if I'm going from point A to point B, that means that I have to be somewhere at the hour. So that means that's 1 hour. And then now once I want to leave point B to get back to point A, that's another hour. So it usually takes about 2 hours. So I can easily just get in my vehicle and drive. I come from the area. I understand, 16 years old in that area, we get vehicles, we want to get our license, we want to drive. Most thriving communities, they have a great transit system. And so that's always the goal. And it increased ridership. And also, too, just for emission purposes, to get single occupancy vehicles off of the roads. That's actually my passion in transit, because that was what commuter service is what initially got me interested in transit. But again, that's the actual goal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If we can, you know, look, for just congestion's sake, as a driver, you know, we do traffic on the fives in order to tell people where to avoid the problems. If we can get people to ride the bus because the bus becomes appealing, there was actually a time early on when I worked here that I thought, you know, well, let's look into this possibility of riding the bus to work. Let's just kind of see what would the cost and the time. And I was like, you know, can't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people have no other alternative. I totally understand that. But is there a way to run this system so that we can have more desire to use it, so the money that's being spent would be, you know, more effectively spent, and, you know, less costly by, for example, using smaller buses? Even if we used, you know, I got to guess that on economies of scale, if you used two small buses in place of a single bus, you would actually have a more efficient, you know, less costly, and more people would probably ride it because they come more frequently, you know, all that kind of stuff. Rodriguez, one thing that concerns me, I know you're making a transition. That's the purpose of this ridership plan, is to make a transition to a new model for delivering service. And the broad strokes of that model, I very much agree with. My concern is that the model going forward is still based on the old way of thinking that formed the first model, which is, where are the people and where are the jobs? Instead of, where is the ridership? And so I'm worried that we're building a system that's going to be responsive to a data set that isn't really the key one, because the key one seems to be, where are the people actually wanting to ride the bus? That seems to be coming from the ridership data, not from the strategic idea of, well, there's a lot of jobs here and a lot of people live there. Let's put bus routes in that area. Am I wrong in thinking that we're going on the wrong premise?
Yes, because again, one of your key performance indicators in transit is your actual ridership study. And so,
okay.
And my whole goal, we had six goals. And one of the goals with, while doing this operational analysis is, guess what? Not just where the population is located in the ridership, but I also want that ridership to get to the jobs. That's how we're going to get the single occupancy vehicles off of the road. And yes, you are correct. Smaller vehicles is actually a great thing. Anyone that knows me and actually sat down and actually spoken with me, they actually will see my passion is to emissions, lower the emissions rate. Right, that's how you become award-winning transit agencies. Having more ridership—that's actually how you become an award-winning transit agency. But again, changing the mindset—I'll be the first to say, yes, we are archaic in Escambia County when it comes to our transit system, but because it's been the same for over two decades. But the thing is, in order for us to get to a point to where we can actually drive that change, yes, you first have to have the conversation like we're having right now, right? And we have to have a clear understanding, okay, just getting rid of the big buses, if that was possible, the Federal Transit Administration has a 12-year useful life cycle. So those vehicles, they were purchased, right? They were purchased before my time. And again, at one point when I first arrived, we had at not one point purchased any big vehicles. So we had 1998s, 1999s. And so those had to be replaced because when you're writing your Federal Transit Administration grants, they have line of accounting. And a lot of those grants that we had, those grants that we, and I have to shout out my staff, my finance staff, my grants coordinator and my operations manager and everyone, we got a new team there. We've taken those old grants. When I arrived, we had 2011, 2012 grants. Those grants, hey, I couldn't change what those items were already budgeted for. So I still have to make those purchases to allow us to be able to now get into a dawn of a new era, allow us to be able to get to a point to where now, hey, while we're writing our 2021 grants, our 2022 grants, our 2023 grants, we're looking to purchase smaller vehicles. So that's our actual goal.
That makes a lot of sense to me. You're kind of encumbered by the decisions and the grant funding of the past, and I appreciate that. And I love hearing you ardently advocate for the smaller vehicles as a form of efficiency because it's going to both cut costs and deliver better service to the end user, which is, you know, that's like you say, how do you make an award-winning transit system? Before we let you go, Rodriguez, I did want to let you clear up something that I just want. I think people have this misconception about buses, and I want to give you a chance to explain it because I know it's not the way to. We don't make the money to run the system on the fare box. The fare box is, you know, 5-8% of the operating cost of a route. Some are as high as 10, but there's only one that's that high. Some are as low as 2%. But at the same time, taxpayers aren't paying this out of like their ad valorem taxes either. The money does come from taxpayers, but it comes from federal money and state money and some from the local option gas tax. The other 95% of operating costs does not come from the general budget of Escambia County, right?
That is correct. We do not operate out of the general fund of Escambia County. We have I have to say again, the staff. We have a staff here now, a team that's being built, that's dedicating themselves to put in for more grants, service development grants. We're actually taking all types of competitive grant opportunities. We're doing everything we can now to actually push forward. But no, again, we receive FTA funding because, again, public transit is the Federal Transit Administration. They have regulatory guidelines for us to have public transit with the state FDOT district 3 from FDOT. I work tirelessly with them, and I have so much support from them. We are doing everything to get more grants.
Great.
So that we can have a better system.
No, that's fantastic. And look, I'm glad you're learning at the Orlando conference. I'm novice to this. I know that I'm looking at this for the first time, but that's kind of why the report is out, you know, so we can have this conversation and people can think about this. And I appreciate you taking the, you know, challenging questions. Okay. And I knew you'd have good answers for them. And I learned a lot today talking to you. So I very much appreciate that. And I look forward to talking to you more in the future because I want our transit system to run efficiently. I want it to be good customer service. I want it to be a viable option for people who wouldn't normally consider it. And, of course, I want to see transportation needs for our poorest citizens who really depend on this system for their transportation. I want to see them taken care of. That's the reason we have it in the first place. Rodriguez Kimbrough, he is the director of ECAT, the director of mass transit for Escambia County. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your conference, and let's talk again sometime soon, okay?
I look forward to it because I'm homegrown. I love the system just as much as you will, and any citizen.
Oh, I love that. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And one of the things I did yesterday after that interview is I had compiled all of the data, cost per person, number of riders, all of that, onto a chart from the 211-page report. The data came from them, but I just recompiled it onto a chart you can see. And I posted that on our Facebook page. So if you want to see the numbers to go with what we were talking about, and if you want to read the report for yourself, I linked that up as well. Asked Escambia County to post that. They hadn't, and they did. And so it's available as well for you to look over and decide what you think about all of this. 43, again, it's all on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3. 437-1620 is my phone number. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, I mean, really, in the thinking fit, like that's when you want to talk to a realtor, right? Don't get too worked up about what you could acquire or what you could get for your sale until you talk to somebody who really knows, because then you can set realistic expectations. You can have a good idea of what the process would involve, how long it would take, and then make an adult decision based on what you learned from the expert. You know, Christina Leavenworth, or team at Leavenworth Realty, they are great at this. 230-plus homes sold last year. That's amazing. And just let that sink in. Five a week. And yet, somehow, I'm always amazed by this. I don't know how they do it. They manage to make it so that you feel like you're their only client. I know that would, like, if I were working with three people, they would all feel like they were one of 20. Like, that's how, you know, I would be the exact opposite. With Christina Leavenworth and her team, they make you feel like you're the only one. I don't know how, but it's amazing. So she has like-minded people surrounding her. She has like-hearted people surrounding her that want to serve and make sure they get your deal done and get you the best possible situation. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
This morning at 10:30, join Santa Rosa Animal Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every life is precious and that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back, adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. That's this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's one of your final weeks to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax, watch the sunset, and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Pensacola's bluegrass house band, String Farm. Hear the best in songs in bluegrass this Tuesday night at 7 with String Farm at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, well, hello there. What's your name?
Molly Krasowski.
All right, Jake, I feel like we're about to find out where this relationship is going, okay? Do you know this song? Oh.
I mean, I've heard it. I've definitely heard it and rocked out to it. I can't tell you any details on it.
It's from Spinal Tap. It's from Spinal Tap. And yeah. All right. Well, every relationship has its roadblocks.
I'm going to fail. 556 on News Radio 92.3.
Jake is sitting in learning things this morning for Candy. And actually, John Pickens sitting in for Candy this morning, too, because she's out dealing with some stuff. And, you know, she'll be back on Monday. No worries. Okay, well, you know, I'll just move on. Fine, fair enough. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3.
So
I thought maybe because you're a drummer. I thought maybe because you're a musician that Spinal Tap would have been like your...
Well, the drummers die in the movie, like constantly, just deaths.
Spoiler alert.
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry for anybody who's going to watch that today.
Who was going to watch that for the first time in 40 years. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning. David?
Ford Motor Company telling the United Auto Workers that its 23% pay raise offer was the most they could afford to do. Of course, the UAW now striking against those big three automakers. They're seeking a 40% raise. Ford says the offer they made to the union would have put employees in the top 25% of all hourly and salary jobs across the U.S. They called it an incredibly positive offer. And, of course, now the latest Ford plant that went on strike was the F-150 plant in Kentucky. That was earlier this week. Law enforcement officials across the U.S. now on alert. A former Hamas chief has called for a global day of jihad today. There have already been some clashes during protests both ways across the nation. And one suspect in custody after five drug task force officers in Minnesota were shot yesterday. That happened just outside of Minneapolis. All five officers are expected to survive.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. New Frasier on tonight. You got on Paramount Plus. You got two episodes of the Frasier reboot. Are you a Frasier fan, Jake?
I definitely am. Always have been. And I realized this morning when I was driving to work thinking about it, I'm Roz. I'm
yes,
your
you
Roz.
Are.
I am.
You are so. that funny black lady. That's oh, you meant because she's a radio
Frasier.
Producer. Ah, see, I misunderstood.
No,
okay,
yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough. John, are you a Frasier fan? Were you a Frasier
I
fan?
Was of
okay.
the old one.
100 years ago.
I'm worried about this. I don't know.
Reboots are always dicey, right?
Right.
You know, can you capture that magic again? Because questions like, do you have the same writing staff? You know,
yes.
Because usually that's the sort. If you love a show, it's not because of the actors, it's the writers. It's usually
right.
why you love it and you don't realize it. I was never a Frasier guy. I was Cheers.
Yeah.
But never Frasier. I mean, I've watched some episodes, but it wasn't like my show. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So.
I mean, it's radio. That's why, I got interested in it because I was like, ooh, they did that wrong. Nope, that doesn't work.
All right, can I make my confession? I've never said this out loud.
Oh, no.
I've only seen a couple of episodes of KRP also.
What?
I said it.
We're going to have to sit you down in a little small room.
Well, okay, so I'm willing, but what I keep telling my wife is, you know, I really need to watch these. And she's like, well, you can do that on your own. I'm like,
See, there you go. That's family time, together time.
I know, because she likes comedies. I just don't think she believes it's going to be a comedy. Yeah. And it's always the problem of, like, if you're in the radio industry, you experience that a little bit differently, right, than any other person would. So, I don't know. We'll see if it turns out. I'll keep you posted of whether I wind up being somebody who's actually seen more than just a couple of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.